Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Have you ever said, all I'm doing is, and that could be followed by greeting people at the door, working in the nursery, working on the security team, all I'm doing is. Well, I want to tell you, what you're doing, if you do it as unto the Lord and with all of your heart, as you're serving Him, it's a great work that you are involved in. And today on Exploring Missions, we're going to talk about that. So I think we're talking to a lot of people who feel like, well, all I'm doing is. The interview that you're going to hear later, I think, has a little bit to say that, because wasn't a lot, but God doesn't need a lot. If He gets a little, it's amazing what He can do with that. So I want to share that today. And Nathan, God can take small beginnings and do great things, can He?
Absolutely. I'm not a Southern gospel music fan or aficionado, but there seems to be a song in the back of my head that I still remember, and it goes something like, little is much when God is in it. Is that right? Okay. Have you heard that?
Devin, he's over there at the board. Is that right, Devin? You can check. It is, yes.
Okay. So I think that's the point we're trying to make today, is whatever small beginning that God has given us to do, a small step in a certain direction, we don't necessarily see the end picture or the end goal. We might not start with that vision. We might just start with a simple act of obedience. Like, here's something small that God's given me to do. I'm going to do that the best that I can. And God takes it and can run with it and can expand it and can multiply it. And it sounds like there's a passage, there's actually a parable that Jesus told in Mark chapter 4. And that's what it sounds like to me. And we know this is the parable of the mustard seed. So if you've ever seen a mustard seed, you know it's literally tiny, just a tiny little speck of a seed. And this is Jesus' parable. He said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? So the kingdom of God, a big, in some people's minds, not concrete, hard to picture, hard to understand, hard to get a grasp of and know what it's like. And so how does Jesus describe it? How does He make it concrete and tangible? Well, this is what it's like. What parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. And so Jesus is describing how God's kingdom operates. It has a small beginning, a small start, something small on the front end, little, tiny, insignificant. But yet when you treat it right, when you go about doing it the right way, when you plant it, then it will grow. And it somehow, if you just leave it alone and let it grow and let it do its thing, it somehow will take over a garden. And a mustard seed will become a mustard plant. And that mustard plant will grow and grow and grow continually until it's taking over everything. And that's how God's kingdom works. I just find this an interesting parable. And one just note I want to make about this parable is that He talks about the birds. Many of Jesus' parables, He talks about the birds. And many times, the birds represent the Gentiles. They represent the nations of the earth, biblically. So in a metaphorical way, He's saying that our little small steps of faith and obedience can turn into something bigger, and it can actually touch nations and reach peoples for the gospel, for the kingdom. And maybe that was not our intent to begin with, but that's how God's kingdom operates. It's His intent. It's His mission. It's His goal. And He's using us just as a small little act of obedience to plant that small little mustard seed.
birds do something that's just like honeybees, butterflies, as they go and
get pollinators, right?
Pollinators. That's what they do. The birds are seed sowers. You'll wonder, how'd that get there? Well, there was a bird up there that had landed, got a seed, and it dropped, and here another comes up. So that is God's power. I would say this about the ministry that we're connected with here at AFR. When Brother Don Wildman started AFA, it was print, but he started to be interviewed, and people would distort what he would say. It's what they said and what they heard or what they made them sound like they heard. And he said, you know, I need a platform of my own. And from that came a radio. Now it's a network, but because the internet, when it started cutting off the radio ministry and couldn't get licensed in different places, he said, well, I'm going to go to the internet. And now because of the internet, Nathan, it's worldwide.
Yeah.
This is what God can do. And we share the good news of Christ. We hear from people all the time that hear about the programming at AFR, even this program, Exploring Missions. We've had people's needs met because of this program, and it started really, really small.
Yeah.
And that is the mustard seed, isn't it?
It is, and that's how God operates. That's how the kingdom of God operates. Think of Jesus coming to earth as a little baby, insignificant,
hallelujah,
in a little town in Bethlehem.
To a carpenter.
Yeah, I mean, the kingdom of God doesn't start with fanfare. It starts small and almost looked over. If that's you today, if you feel small, insignificant, looked over, God wants to use you in incredible ways. Just be obedient to what he's telling you now. Be obedient to what he's told you. It might be a small act of obedience. It might be a small step of faith. But little is much when God is in it.
So when I say all I'm doing is... You are a prime candidate for God to use in so many ways. Nathan, that is an observation that we truly love, and you'll enjoy this interview because God was in it.
Today on Exploring Missions, we have a great guest that I met by phone just a few days ago, and we were excited about being able to interview her at the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Meeting, that's taking place in Dallas, Texas. And that's where Susie is. And if you hear that background noise, that is the convention floor where you have booths all over that area, people walking by and talking and viewing and looking. And so our studio is set up right there on the convention floor. So Susie, thank you for joining us on Exploring Missions.
It's such an honor. Thank you for inviting me.
And what we want to talk about is your journey to being able to found Operation Care International and its ministry now. So here's what I'd love to do. Could you give us a quick overview of what Operation Care International is all about?
Yes. Operation Care International is a ministry for the homeless and the poor, impoverished children and families in Dallas. It started in Dallas. And now we have partnered with 52 countries. And Operation Care was founded because I asked God, what can I do for you after the death of my beloved husband? He was in the military, and after 9 years of marriage, he committed suicide. And after that, my next door neighbor, 5 months after I buried my husband, my next-door neighbor shot his heart 30 feet from me. He also committed suicide. And that's when I got really mad at God. Questioned God, why did he allow that to happen? And then that night, this happened in September 1993, when I got really mad at God when my neighbor committed suicide. My husband committed suicide in March 9, 1993. And then my neighbor committed suicide 5 months later. And that's when I was so upset with God. And on that same night, God gave me a dream. In my dream, I was knocking at my neighbor's doors, telling them about Jesus. The next day, I woke up. I decided I'm going to choose joy. Because for 30 days, when I was looking for my husband disappeared for 30 days. I would read the Bible, Psalms chapter by chapter, and God said, weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning. So that was the verse that carried me. The joy comes in the morning. I know that there's a message. So that night, so the next day I woke up and then I just said, God, what can I do for you? Then a few weeks later, he took me under the bridge in downtown Dallas and showed me the homeless. And he was telling in my heart, he said, go and help the homeless, give them blankets. And that started my journey helping the homeless. And by the way, I didn't even like the homeless, because when I was growing up in the Philippines, they used to come to my home and my mother would feed them and they ate my food, occupied my space. So I grew up not liking them. And one of them even slapped me when I was in the marketplace. So I could not stand homeless people until I came to America. And I was a nurse. You know, I was hired from the Philippines to come to Dallas to be a nurse.
Well, what year did you come to Dallas, Susie?
1982.
Okay.
82.
80.
I was married for 9 years, 1993, when my husband died. And
well, let me ask you that, under the bridge. Yeah, let me ask you this, Susie. As a nurse, registered nurse, where was you working? Were you working there in Dallas as just a registered nurse?
I was working at Baylor Hospital as a nurse supervisor, and that was my job.
And that's where you were when your husband died?
Yes.
Well, you were set up caring for people. So God had already arranged that. You may not have cared concerning the homeless, but you cared for people. So it sounds like you give God a little bit of space. He'll expand that space in your life. Sounds like he did that in a great way, Susie.
He did. And and when he told me, go under the bridge and help the homeless living in cardboard boxes, I said, no, these are crazy people. I don't want any homeless people near me. And then the Lord said, in my spirit, he said, you ask me, what can you do for me? Right there, my heart changed. The Lord convicted my spirit. And I said, oh, God, I will go. What could I take to the needy people under the bridge? And he said, blankets. So that was the start of my journey. I became the blanket lady of Dallas.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this. Did anybody go with you when you first started delivering the blankets to the homeless?
Yes. My church, I go to First Baptist Dallas.
Yes.
And that's my church for 42 years now. I taught Sunday school there together with my late husband. Yeah, some people, they went under the bridge with me and we delivered the first blankets a few weeks on Thanksgiving Day, because that was October when God told me to go under the bridge. And September was when my neighbor committed suicide. October was when God told me to go under the bridge. And November, we distributed 100 blankets. And then December and Christmas time, we did it again. And we shared the gospel.
Yeah.
Because in my dream, I know I had a call from God. I know it was about evangelism. Yeah. So that's what Operation Care. And then I started the ministry. It's Operation Care International. So the heart of the ministry is evangelism. And the trademark is foot washing. So we wash feet of the homeless and the poor. And we started a big Christmas event at Dallas Convention Center in 2004. And we called it the nation's largest birthday bash for Jesus.
Amen. Well, let's go back. And I wanted to ask this. Being a member at First Baptist Church Dallas, you have had some great Bible teachers. Have they fed? Yes. I just want to know, because people need to have a biblical view of of ministry, a great foundation. So who was the pastor at First Baptist Dallas when you first started?
Dr. Mac Bronson was the pastor, because Dr. Criswell already went home to be with Jesus. So Mac Bronson was the one who was the pastor.
So you've had some great pastors there feeding you the Word of God. And you and her husband taught Sunday school together?
Yes.
Well, the reason I wanted to bring that up, Susie, is the foundation. Usually in missions, God calls people out of a ministry to a ministry. You develop a heart for ministry, and it may be different. It may be to different people. But those of you who are listening today on Exploring Missions, you may be very involved in your church, and you may be involved in a ministry, but listen to God as Susie did, as God says, I've got something else for you, when she said, God, what do you have for me? Again, we're talking today with Susie Jennings. She's president and founder of Operation Care International out of Dallas, Texas. And so she was known as ministering to the homeless, as the blanket lady delivering those blankets. Now, How did the next step take? After you started delivering the blankets, God gave you a heart for evangelism and missions. What was the next step, Susie? Was it automatic, or did someone come along and show you, or did God give you an idea, this is what I need to do next?
Well, it was really all God. My church came to me and wanted me to help 5,000 children in South Dallas, the poorest area. They said there's a Christmas party, and the founder of that event in that South Dallas, she just died. And they came to me, asked me, could you help the 5,000 children? I said, no, we are homeless ministry. We don't have any money to help 5,000 for Christmas for children. But see, when God gives you a vision, he gives provision. And so they said, if you will not come and help the children, there is no Christmas for these children. That really just like caught me. And I said, oh God, help us, Lord. How could we pay for this party? We needed Bibles and we needed gospel tracts and we needed toys. And the Lord told me, he said, you pay with your own credit card. So I did. I put it in my own credit card. I ordered Bibles and $28,000 in my two credit card, in my personal credit card. And then after that, did you know that 2 weeks later, money came in the mailbox for Operation Care worth $28,000 exactly. It paid off all my credit cards. I mean, because I listened and I obeyed God and I had the faith like a child. I always pray, God, help me to have a childlike faith.
When I hear that, Susie, God knew what he was going to do, but you just had to get on board with him, and I'm glad you did. That's such a blessing. You've already talked about the Christmas bash. So now Operation Care International has several events that they minister through those. Tell us a little bit about those events that Operation Care International is involved in.
It's called Birthday Party for Jesus, and that's at the Dallas Convention Center. We have been doing that for 21 years now. So we started with, on the first year in 2004, we started with 10,000 guests, 8,500 homeless and the poor in Dallas, and 1,500 volunteers. That was the first year. And we went up to 18,000 people came to our party. And evangelism is the heart, and trademark is foot washing. So now we are known to hold the birthday party. And then God gave me another vision wherein we will spread this party all over the world. And so every January 1 to 7, I would go out and have a prayer and fasting in different prayer mountains, South Korea, in Indonesia, Philippines. Then I will ask God, what do we do next? And God would tell me exactly what to do. And he said, you're going to have this birthday party in 50 states and 193 countries, all over the world in one day. And then we started one day movement in 2020 during the pandemic. We did not know what we're doing, and you know, everything closed down. But boy, Operation Care and birthday party did not stop. We were able to give away money, $365,000 to 47 countries. Money was given so they could buy shoes and they could do foot washing and they could do evangelism. And that was what we did. And now we are in 52 countries. And so the vision continues. We will not stop until we reach 193 countries in one day. So it's called One Day Global Evangelistic Celebration.
Again, we're talking with Susie Jennings of Operation Care International. And these partnerships that you go into these 52 countries with, are churches involved, or do you have your own people there, or how does this work? Tell us about that.
We partner. That's why I want to urge your listeners. We partner with churches. So the goal is one partner in each country and one partner in each city, in each state. We raise money and then we help them start the event. So we teach them how to do foot washing and sharing the gospel. And then after that, in return, they give us a video, a testimony, and pictures wherein they really did the event. In 2020, 47 countries joined forces with us, wherein it reached over 40,000 people in that one day during the pandemic. And so it's unstoppable. Jesus' work, birthday party, was unstoppable. And so the goal is that we'll go all over the world in one day celebration. The world will celebrate Jesus' birthday with evangelism and foot washing the same day, regardless of time zone. Mm.
Amen. Well, go back with me, and I wanted to follow up on this for sure. The children was the first, the homeless, reaching them with the blankets, and then the children. Are children still a big part of Operation Care International?
Yes, sir. This 2025, December 20 is the birthday party for Jesus. It's every third Saturday of December. Yes, and I want a lot of partners to partner with us. We're in, they will do evangelism and foot washing on the same day. Children is the focal point for the international part. But in America, it's all men, women, and children. Because in international part, the children are the most vulnerable and the one that really need help. So when we go out, we wash feet, we put on new socks and shoes, and we give away backpacks, t-shirts, Bibles, school supplies, food, and we connect the children to churches. So it's always about churches helping us, because that's really the body of Christ needs to be the one that would lead this.
When I heard your story, and I know you have a website, you can go to Operation Care International and you could read Susie's story. You can find out the different events that they're involved in. And you see all this taking place there on her website. So it's an exciting thing to see and be a part of. And so, Susie, I would love for you to tell us on your Bible verse, Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. When I hear your story coming from the Philippines to America, meeting your husband, and then the events that took place of his death and the neighbor's death, God took those things in your life that was tragedy, horrible, difficult, and he turned them around and gave you a vision of what he wanted you to do. Can he do that in someone else's life that's listening today, that they feel like they've gotten a bad deal, everything's going wrong? Do you think they can look unto God and wait for God to do something good?
Oh, you need to be a frog person, F-R-O-G, fully relying on God. When you do that, God is going to take you. My life is all about faith and obedience will take you to a place of a miracle that can change the world. If God could change my hardened heart towards the homeless, he could change anybody's heart. I quit my job. I quit my six-figure income as a nurse supervisor to follow God's calling. Now God has led me to 18 countries in person where I was able to speak in front of 46,000 children and share the gospel. Thousands and thousands of people got saved because of the call that God gave to my heart. It's not my ministry. It's God's ministry. I'm just a little caretaker of Operation Care International. So if people want to support us, they could go to our website at upcare.org, because I am the only fundraiser of this whole ministry, and we do need help so we could continue to share the gospel. The goal for this year is December 20, 2025, 100 countries, 1,000 children per country, 100,000 pairs of shoes on December 20. So we need help to purchase the shoes so we could give it away to 100 countries, and that 100,000 children could benefit, and then we could tell Jesus to these children and their families.
I know you can't name all those countries, but give us a few of those countries so people can have that in their mind, and they can go to a map, a globe, and find those countries and start praying for those countries. Just give us a few of those countries that you'll be involved in.
Yes, so personally, been to Philippines, China, Cambodia, Israel, Jordan, Brazil, Nepal, Hungary, Romania, Poland, Ukraine, North Vietnam, Cuba.
Amen.
And we have even given to North Korea. I mean, money underground were given so they could share the gospel. It's underground meeting. By the way, I'm leaving Thursday. I'm leaving for Dubai. I was invited to become a speaker at the Global Leadership Summit, and I'll be talking about the vision. There are 15 countries that will be coming to this event, so I could share to them the vision of how to make this event, the worldwide event of a birthday party for Jesus, celebrating only Jesus, wherein evangelism will be the key, and then the heart of the whole day will be evangelism, foot washing, putting on new socks and shoes to the children's feet, and the homeless here in America, homeless and the poor. So that's our goal. But we do need help with regards to funding. We would like to give 10,000 per country, and we give them shoes so they could do the foot washing. So that is the goal of this ministry, is to share Jesus, impact the world in one day.
Amen. So they can go to Operation Care International website. You can find it. I found it. If I can find it, anybody can. And I hope our folks will know that. The reason that hearing the noise in the background, Susie's at the NRB, National Religious Broadcasters Meeting, our studio there is set up. And listen, I'm going to keep you in mind so we can have a follow-up next year about what God has done on that day. And we're trusting God to do a great job on that. I know you've prayed. Is anything in your life, we'll pray for you, your personal travels and where you're going and success. Anything else you would add to ask our listeners to pray for?
Well, please pray that I will always make Jesus number one in my life.
Amen.
And sorry.
No, Susie, you are.
I just love the Lord.
Amen.
That's all my prayer, is that wisdom and good health so I could continue the work that was given to me, and that I will be faithful. So, but we desperately need help, of course, in order for me to move on. We do need finances so I could share it to children, and 100,000 children needing help this Christmas time, December 20. So they could go to our website. And by the way, we just do one event. We also do Christmas in July. We're leaving for Puerto Rico this July to help 1,000 children, share the gospel to them, and wash feet and put in new socks and backpacks, t-shirts, food, and Bibles. And also we have 8 events in Dallas alone. 8 events a year, plus the massive global birthday celebration. That's the biggest one. And so pray that I will be faithful until Jesus come, and we need to hurry up. We need to share the gospel to as many people, because Jesus is coming soon. We don't have a lot of time.
Amen.
You need to get up and be a part. Partner with us. Go to opcare.org. The Bible said, Proverbs 19:17, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Could you imagine whatever you give, you are lending to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Thank you, Susie, for being with us. You've been listening to Susie Jennings of Operation Care International, and we thank you, and we want you to be a part of this ministry. So be sure and follow up, and if God speaks to your heart, and I pray He will, you'll be part of God's Great Commission here until Jesus comes back.